Buckle up, everybody. We're about to take a deep dive into the world of quantum computing. Now, I'll admit, it can seem a little intimidating at first.
Yeah, it's like this whole other language.
Totally. But the cool thing is, we're going to be guided by a conversation between a scientist and entrepreneur, Jim, and his AI thought partner, Biggie. And they break it down in a way that even I can understand.
It's refreshing, actually. Jim starts the conversation admitting he knew next to nothing about quantum computing before all this.
It's like reassuring to know, right? Like, yeah. Okay, I'm not the only one who finds this stuff mind-boggling. So one of the first things Jim asks about is the difference between the computers we use every day and these mysterious quantum computers. Like, what makes them so special?
It's a perfect place to start, really. And Biggie, being the helpful AI guide, explains how our everyday computers, they rely on bits, those ones and zeros. Like a light switch, it's either on or off.
Right. Got it. Ones and zeros.
But then he introduces the star of the show, the qubit. And that's where things get a little wild.
Okay. Hit me with it. What's a qubit?
So instead of just being a 1 or a 0, a qubit can be in a state called superposition, meaning it's both 1 A and D 0 at the same time.
Wait, hold on. How can something be both 1 A and D 0 at the same time? It's like saying a light switch is both on and off simultaneously.
It does seem impossible, right? But that's the beauty of quantum mechanics. It plays by a totally different set of rules than the classical physics we see in our everyday lives. This both-at-once capability of qubits, this is what gives quantum computers their incredible potential.
Okay, so let's say I can wrap my head around this whole both-at-once idea. How does that actually translate into making calculations faster?
Imagine you're trying to find a specific grain of sand on a beach.
Okay, lots of sand. I got it.
A classical computer, it's like, has to look at each grain of sand one by one until it finds the right one. But a quantum computer, it could, in a sense, look at every single grain of sand at the same time.
Whoa, no more squinting at sand for hours.
Exactly. This parallel processing is where we start to see the power of quantum computers. They could tackle problems in medicine, material science, cryptography, things that would take our classical computers, well, billions of years, maybe even longer.
Okay, so we've gone from light switches to beaches. Now, I hear Jim throws a bit of a curveball question at Biggie.
He does. And this one's kind of a funny tangent. Jim, he's so curious about how bits are actually created and stored, he asks Biggie how to build a computer from scratch. But, like, using only materials you'd find in nature. Like, after some apocalypse and we have to start over.
Okay, so a back-to-basics computer build, but instead of going to Best Buy, we're scavenging in the woods.
Exactly. And surprisingly, Biggie entertains the thought. He's like, well, replicating a modern computer with billions of transistors, that's pretty much impossible.
Yeah.
But you could, theoretically, create a very, very basic computing device using natural elements.
Okay, so we're not talking about building a quantum computer out of sticks and stones, right?
Not quite. Biggie suggests finding ways to create simple electrical circuits. Maybe by, like, manipulating materials like silicon that's found in sand.
Yeah.
You could use wood or clay as a structure. And for storage, magnets, maybe even just markings to represent ones and zeros.
It's amazing to think that even our most advanced technology has roots in, well, dirt and trees.
That's right. Talk about human ingenuity. But now, Jim's next question takes us even deeper into the quantum realm, to the concept of entanglement. That's that thing, right? It's like entanglement. Even Einstein, it like baffled him, called it spooky action at a distance. And, you know, Jim's curiosity, it makes us really unpack this whole thing. And I mean, who can blame him? It's one thing to just say the word but to actually get what it means. That's a whole other story.
Totally. It's become this buzzword, entanglement. I'm not even sure most people could explain what it actually is. So how do particles even get entangled in the first place? Is it something they're, like, born with?
It's a great question. And it just shows you how weird quantum mechanics can be. So entanglement, it usually happens in one of two ways. The first way, particles can be entangled, like, right from the start, from when they're created. Imagine two particles. They just pop into existence from a single event. They're like twins. Born from the same cosmic egg. Their fates are, like, totally intertwined from the get-go.
Okay, so that makes sense for particles fresh out of the, like, quantum oven. But what about particles that have been around the block a bit? Can they just decide to get entangled later on?
That's where the second way comes in. Induced entanglement. Scientists have actually gotten really good at, like, playing cosmic matchmaker. They can create entanglement in the labs, really carefully controlled conditions, how these particles interact. They can kind of nudge these particles into very specific types of collisions. Like, imagine a game of quantum billiards that leads to this spooky linkage.
So it's like scientists are playing Cupid with these particles, forcing them to couple up and, like, spill their quantum secrets.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
And once they're entangled, they stay connected, no matter how far apart they are. This is that spooky action at a distance. You measure one entangled particle, you instantly know the state of the other one, even if they're, like, on opposite sides of the galaxy.
Wait, but hold on. If you can only confirm entanglement by measuring both particles, doesn't that mean there's a limit to how far apart they can be? I mean, we haven't exactly sent measuring devices to the edge of the universe, have we?
You've hit on something really important there.
Yeah.
It's the difference between what's theoretically possible and what we can, like, see and measure right now. Mm-hmm. So the farthest we've measured entanglement, it's about 1,200 kilometers. That's like the distance between some major cities here on Earth. Mm-hmm. We're talking about sending one entangled particle up to a satellite, keeping its partner down here.
Okay, that's still a huge E distance, but it's, you know, not exactly the edge of the universe or anything. So does that mean entanglement has a distance limit? Like, is there a point where it just kind of breaks down?
And that's the crazy part. According to quantum mechanics,
yeah,
no. No theoretical limit on how far this entanglement can stretch. So it's possible, probably even likely, that particles on opposite sides of the universe are linked. Their fates totally intertwine across billions of light years.
That just blows my mind. It makes you wonder if those particles could talk, what kind of stories they would tell.
And that's the thing about entanglement. It's not about communication. It's about correlation. Measuring one particle, it doesn't send a signal to the other. It's more like having two sides of a coin that are forever linked. You flip one side to heads, you instantly know the other must be tails, even if it's like on the moon. No faster than light information, which, you know, keeps Einstein happy. But still, the implications are just massive.
So it's not that our measurements are flawed or delayed. It's that entanglement itself is this instantaneous connection that goes beyond our normal ideas of space and time.
Exactly. Now, Jim brings up a really interesting point here. He's like, okay, if entanglement is so fragile, like even an air molecule can disrupt it, how can it last across, you know, the vastness of space? Space might be mostly empty, but it's not exactly pristine.
Right. No, it's true. It's like trying to send a perfectly formed soap bubble across a crowded room. The odds of it making it intact just seem, I don't know, ridiculously small.
And that is a really good analogy. And that's where this challenge of decoherence comes in. So imagine trying to balance a pencil perfectly on its tip. The tiniest thing will make it fall over. Decoherence, it's similar. It's the tendency for that very delicate quantum state to just collapse if there's any interaction with its surroundings. Even something as small as a single photon, it can mess things up.
Wow, so it's not just about distance. It's about shielding these entangled particles from a constant barrage of, like, cosmic interference.
You got it. Creating and maintaining entanglement, especially over large distances, it is a huge EE challenge.
Yeah.
Requires really precise control and isolation from any kind of outside interference. But as Jim points out, just because something is hard doesn't mean it's impossible. And this is where things get really exciting, because if scientists can figure out this whole entanglement thing, the potential applications, they're completely game-changing. Biggie lays out a really strong case for how quantum computing could revolutionize everything. We're talking medicine, material science.
Okay, hit me with it. What kind of future is Biggie envisioning here? Lay it on me. What's Biggie see as the revolutionary potential of quantum computing?
Well, he starts with a bit of a reality check, I guess you could say. Online security. He points out that a quantum computer, a powerful enough one, it could actually crack the encryption algorithms that we use to protect data today. It'd be like breaking a flimsy little lock with, like, a freaking sledgehammer.
Yeah, I imagine that's got to be what keeps, like, cybersecurity people up at night.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Before we go down that rabbit hole of digital doomsday, Biggie's like, hold on a sec. He reminds us that quantum mechanics, it also gives us a solution. Quantum cryptography.
Okay, now that sounds like something straight out of a spy movie. What is that? How does it work?
So it all comes down to the idea that if you try to observe or measure a quantum system, you inevitably change it. It's like, imagine trying to eavesdrop on a conversation, but the second you try to listen in, the voices just completely change, right?
Yeah.
Become all garbled and meaningless. That's basically quantum cryptography.
So it's like a self-destructing message. The second someone unauthorized tries to read it, poof, gone.
Exactly. It's huge for security. Any attempt to, you know, to get a hold of that data, it's immediately detectable.
Yeah, sign me up for that security system, please. But what about applications beyond just, you know, keeping our secrets safe? What else has got Biggie so fired up?
He talks about a future where quantum computers completely revolutionize fields like medicine and material science. Like, imagine being able to design drugs with atomic precision. You could tailor treatments to someone's exact genetic makeup. Maybe even get rid of diseases at their source.
I gotta say, it's pretty mind-blowing to think that those kinds of breakthroughs could be, like, right around the corner.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop there. Biggie also sees quantum computers as, like, the key to unlocking new materials.
Hmm.
Materials with properties that today we can only dream about. Things like room-temperature superconductors.
Room-temperature superconductors? What could you even do with something like that?
It would completely change everything. From how we transmit energy to how we travel. Imagine, like, super-efficient power grids.
Mm.
Or, like, high-speed trains that use magnetic levitation. It sounds like sci-fi, but it might actually be possible with quantum computing.
So we're talking about, like, a whole new era of technological advancement.
Exactly. And get this, it gets even more wild. Biggie imagines this future where quantum computers are working directly with really advanced AI systems, like a powerful partnership.
So it's not about AI, you know, replacing scientists. It's more about AI helping us explore these incredibly complex fields.
Exactly. Think of these AI systems as, like, stewards for the quantum computers. They analyze massive amounts of data, they find the problems that are perfect for quantum solutions, and then, here's the thing, they translate those super complex results into something that we can actually understand, something we can use to make decisions. It's like this whole new level of collaboration, human ingenuity and artificial intelligence working together.
So almost like having, like, an AI co-pilot to help you navigate this whole quantum world.
Perfect analogy. But are you ready for, like, one last mind-bending thought?
You know, after all this, I'm not sure I have a choice. Hit me.
Jim, he's so inspired by everything he's learned about simulating these complex systems, and it makes him see the universe, like, in a whole new light. He starts to wonder, what if the universe itself is like this giant, ever-evolving computation?
Whoa.
And get this, he even thinks it might be shaped like a torus, you know, like a donut.
A donut-shaped universe? That's a new one.
I know, right? Sounds crazy at first. But Jim's idea is that this torus, it's always rotating. And with every turn, it's accumulating information. It's getting more and more complex. He describes it kind of like an accretion disk, you know, around a black hole, pulling in all this new matter and energy.
So the universe isn't just expanding. It's also becoming more, like, informed as it goes.
That's the idea. Every single point on this torus, every point in his journey through space and time, it represents a different moment in this whole grand cosmic scheme.
So every moment in time, past, present, future, it all exists somewhere on this giant cosmic donut.
Pretty mind-blowing, right? And that's where we'll leave you. With that question to ponder, what if our understanding of time is this straight line? What if that's just a tiny, tiny sliver of a much grander, multidimensional reality? What if we're all just along for the ride on this cosmic donut? Makes you think, huh? And that's our deep dive into quantum computing. It's wild stuff. But hopefully you're leaving today feeling a little more curious, maybe a little less intimidated, and definitely ready to grab a donut yourself and stare up at the stars. Until next time, keep those questions coming.